Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence, all of you who are with us in person, and those of you joining us online. As you can tell, I'm wearing a mask today. I was exposed to COVID this week, and so following guidelines, I'm going to mask for 10 days, partly to protect myself, but mostly to protect you. And in that same vein, you'll notice that I'll consecrate the bread this morning, but our guest preacher, Vicar Christina, is going to be the one to hand you the bread so that I'm not touching the food that you take in. So thank you for your grace and your patience. There's still a lot of stuff going on around out there, so I hope you stay safe and healthy. Speaking of a special Sunday, we are delighted to have Vicar Christina Neslagi Allred with us today. She is in the first call process, awaiting her first call at a church. She's a graduate of Duke Divinity School, a very dear friend of mine, and I'm so grateful that she's willing to come preach for us today, and I'm looking forward to hearing you. We have a few things coming up in the next couple of weeks because next Sunday is the last Sunday before Lent begins. It's Transfiguration Sunday. So be ready that on Valentine's Day, February 14th, is Ash Wednesday. The night before, we're having our Shrove Tuesday pancake supper. We hope that you will join us for that. And next Sunday, we have several things going on. In addition to confirmation and Sunday school, it is Super Bowl Sunday, but not the football kind, although that is happening. We're having S-O-U-P-E-R Super Bowl Sunday next Sunday. We're hoping to have a food drive for our blessing box. We hope that you'll bring canned goods, soups, crackers, etc. for our blessing box, and that you'll join us after worship for a soup and sandwich lunch. And then those of you who are account treasurers, the annual audits are after the lunch. If you have a church mailbox here, we hope that you'll check the mailbox because there's a special invitation in there for you. April Bunton and Tina Heitman are hosting a baby shower for Anna Nelson, whose baby boy is due in April. It's coming up in just a couple weeks, so make sure you get the invitation so you can plan to come to that and celebrate baby Nelson. Yeah, baby Nelson. We have a few birthdays this week. Camden McCullum, Karen Beck, Cameron Cecil, Myra Beck, Herbert Frank, and Brantley Bunton. How old are you going to be this week, Bee?
Nine.
9 years old. That's amazing. And then Raya Parsons is celebrating her baptism.
I want to do it.
You want to do the prayer? Let us pray.
Once on your total world, has a day seen grace. Blessed God name, baby. Statutory stand. I call from these or sorrowful. Raise the mountain they fall. In your hearts, may your pieces pass us all the same. About days set of webs. Through Jesus Christ, our boy. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, B. And now I would like to invite Boyd Queen and James Palmer forward as we give thanks for Troop 299, our scout troop here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church, and dedicate this Eagle Scout plaque.
Today we are having a reunion of our Eagle Scouts and a dedication of our Eagle plaque that James has made. He did an excellent job, I think, on it. He'll be explaining it to you in just a few minutes. I would like to thank the church council that approved us having a troop here at Holly Grove and agreeing to charter our troop. The many leaders, I'd like to thank the many leaders that we had. We had some excellent leaders here at Holly Grove. They really did a super job. And without them, our troop would never survive the way it has. And without you boys, not boys anymore, you're young men. And I still think of you as boys. But without your support, we would not have had it. I went to the Scoutmasters meeting once a month. We had a meeting of all the Scoutmasters in the URA district. And they, all the leaders, was telling about the problems they had with their inner troops, with boys, the discipline problem, and also them showing up for the meetings. We never had those problems. I think most of our boys showed up at every meeting. We were really fortunate, but we had excellent scouts. Your troop here at Holly Grove was a great success, not because of me, but because of the leaders that we had and the support that we had that you gave us. And not least, but these young men helped make it all come true. I'd like to tell you one story, at least of, and then I'll turn it over to James. One story that we had when we went camping, we had a campsite down off of Palmer Road, and some of the boys loved to go fishing. Well, we went fishing one night, I remember this time, and I can't remember the scouts that were with me, but it got dark on us. And I said, I need to lead them back to the campsite. So I started out. Next thing I know, I was right back where I started from. The second time I started leading them out, right back to the exact same spot again. Can you believe it? And I told him, I said, well, this is nonsense. We've got to get out of here. So I said, we'll pick a tree, and we walk towards that tree, always keeping a tree ahead of us. And we got out in no time. One of them four or five trees, I think, we had to pass, because our campsite was less than 2 football fields away from the creek. But you know, there is a way you can get out of a situation like this. If you ever find a skunk, not a skunk, but a possum, you follow him and he'll find a road somewhere. In our Sunday school class, we were talking about the Sunday school teacher told us, the student said, why is it important that you should be quiet in church? This little girl in the back spoke up and said, because people are sleeping. James.
I'm over here.
Oh, you're right here.
Here, come back this way.
Okay.
Right there. Just stand right there. Good deal. All right, folks. My wife told me I better keep it short. Troop 299 was established, and it was in operation and had active members for 14 years. And Boyd was the scoutmaster for all 14 years. We had several Eagle Scouts from Troop 299. There were 27, as a matter of fact. We had 5 charter members of the troop that became Eagle Scouts. And I want to read the names of all the scouts that are on the plaque, the Eagle Scouts. And as I call your names, if you would, please stand and look towards the congregation so they can see how these young men have have turned out to be fantastic people. The five charter members are Bill Herr, Brian Palmer, Joshua Hedrick, who has had a death in the family and was unable to be here today, Andrew Queen, and Jeff Broadway. These are five charter members of the troop. Okay, y'all can sit down and we'll call the rest of the group. Aaron Smith, Zachary Hedrick, Shane Decker, Chris Simmons, Nathan Beck, Jeff Walters, Christopher Yarborough, Stephen Walser. Good to see you, Stephen. Ryan Smith, Andrew Copley, Joey Louie, Anson Mize, Brandon Everhart, Stephen Everhart, Cole Kernstein, William Ryder, Travis Louie, Devin Odom, Jonathan Odom, Garrett Yance, Christopher Conrad, and Justin Lawless. These are the other Eagle Scouts that were able to come today of the 27 of the Troop 299. Thank you. We have seven Eagle Scouts that are members of our congregation that got their Eagle Scout and achieved that distinction from other troops. Greg Kepley in the back of the church, Andy Beck, Brian Queen, Brandon Smith, Colton Jones, Jay Proctor, and Ty Heitman. These are our other members. On the back of the plaque, our modest scoutmaster wouldn't let us put his name on the front. So we put his name on the back along with the troop leaders that worked with the troop on a regular basis. There were way too many people to list everyone's name that worked with the troop, but we tried to list the names of the folks that were there the most during the 14 years. Also on the back are listed the troop committee members. There were, from our information we got, there were a total of six, and those names are listed. Please, anybody, if we've left your name off for any reason, it was not intentional. The information that we had when we put this plaque together, that's what we had. So thank you all. After the service today, we would like for the Eagle Scouts, Troop 299, and church members to meet here in the front so we can take a picture. And then after that, when the troop and their families go, the Scouts, Eagle Scouts and their families go to the fellowship hall, there's a sign-up sheet for you to put your name, address, phone numbers, email addresses and so forth, so we can get you a copy of the picture, whether it be hard copy or digital. Appreciate you folks attending our service today and being here and giving us the time so we can dedicate this plaque. Thank you.
We want to thank you also for your patience, as this service will run a little bit longer today so that we had adequate time to recognize and give thanks for Troop 299. If you'll allow me just a couple more minutes, I'd like to say a few things about Scoutmaster Boyd Queen, much to his chagrin, and lift up what the values of an Eagle Scout are. Those recognized today also want to offer the chance, if anyone here has participated in scouting, Cub Scouts, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, and you didn't achieve Eagle, but you still participated, they'd like for you to stand at this point so that we can recognize you as well. Thank you. So when Boyd reached out to me wanting to have a time to dedicate this Eagle Scout plaque, we wanted to use that as an opportunity to give thanks for the scouting history here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. As James lifted up, from 1989 to 2003, for 14 years, Holly Grove Lutheran Church had Troop 299. And although we don't have the figures of how many scouts came through that troop, we do know that 27 Eagle Scouts came from that troop, which is really remarkable because, in general, only about 2% of the people who participate in Boy Scouts become Eagles. And so we had a much higher percentage of that here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. I think there are several reasons for that. They're just really good quality people here in Holly Grove. I know that the parents and families contributed to that as well, but I think in large part that is also a testament to Scoutmaster Boyd Queen. Boyd is very humble and modest and has really asked that I not say much about him today, but when you give a pastor a microphone, she's going to say a few things. As Lutherans, we believe in the priesthood of all believers. We believe that not just pastors and deacons are called to ministry, but in our baptism, we are all given the call to let our light so shine so that others may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Boyd found his calling in being a scoutmaster and leading his Boy Scout troop for 14 years. He looks back on these years as the best years of his life. You'll often see memories pop up on Facebook. And just like Mary pondered so many things in her heart, be assured that all of the memories you experienced in Boy Scout, Boyd holds those and treasures them in his heart. And I know he thinks and ponders on them. He has a very unique set of gifts, his temperament, and the call from God to be Scoutmaster. And so part of what we want to do today is also give thanks for Boyd Queen and for all he did to contribute to Troop 299 and helping 27 Eagles come through that troop. I want to read to you the Scout Law. Don't worry, I'm not going to make you all stand up and recite it. I'm sure you still have it memorized, but I'm not going to put you on this spot. But for the Scout Law, a scout is to be trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. And when you all became Eagles, these words were charged to you. I charge you to undertake your citizenship with a solemn dedication. Be a leader, but lead only toward the best. Lift up every task you do and every office you hold to the high level of service to God and your fellow humans, to finest living. We have too many who use their strength and their intellect to exploit others for selfish gains. I charge you to be among those who dedicate their skills and abilities to the common good. And then you all would have said this: on my honor, I will do my best to my duty to God and my country, and to obey the Scout Law, to help other people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. One of the things that scouting does is it helps shape and form young men into wonderful, very deep character-filled citizens. And so I'd like for us to now dedicate this plaque as we give thanks for Troop 299. Friends in Christ, today we give thanks to God and seek God's blessing as we gather to dedicate this Eagle Scout plaque. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, ruler of the universe. You made the whole earth for your glory. All creation praises you. We lift our voices to join the songs of heaven and earth, of things seen and unseen. You stretched out the heavens like a tent. You divided the day from the night. You appointed times and seasons for work and rest, for tearing down and building up. You blessed your people through all generations and guided them in life and in death. Abraham and Sarah, Moses and Miriam, Isaiah and all the prophets, Mary, Mother of our Lord, Peter, James, John, and all the apostles, and all the saints and witnesses in your church of ages past, in whom your Spirit spoke and moved. We give you thanks, O God, as we dedicate this Eagle Scout plaque to your glory and praise. We give you thanks for the scouting history here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church, for all who served and for all who participated. We give you thanks for the Eagle Scouts and for all the ways they continue to dedicate their skills and abilities to the common good. We give you thanks for Boyd Queen, who faithfully served and offered his heart, mind, body, and soul for 14 years as Scoutmaster. God, grant us faith to know your gracious purpose in all things. Give us joy in them and lead us to the building up of your kingdom. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please join me in giving thanks for Troop 299, in giving thanks for all its Eagle Scouts, and in giving thanks for their faithful Scoutmaster, Boyd Queen. Now please stand as you are able for the confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, creator of darkness and light, word of truth, wind sweeping over the waters. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. God, our rock and refuge, we pour out our hearts before you. We have known you, but have not always loved you. We have wounded one another and sinned against you. We have not always recognized the Holy Spirit dwelling in each of us. Remember your covenant. Renew your creation. Restore us, that we might proclaim your good news to all. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. God has spoken. The time of grace is now. In Jesus, the reign of God has come near. By the authority of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. You are God's beloved. Amen. The love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Everlasting God, you give strength to the weak and power to the faint. Make us agents of your healing and wholeness, that your good news may be made known to the ends of your creation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated. And I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Good morning, Brantley. Good morning, Nora. Good morning, Sawyer. Good morning, Kate. What's your name? Good morning, Wesley. What's your name? Emma. Good morning. Would you like to come sit right here? Well, this week, a couple of our kiddos have birth. Is Cameron here? No. Okay. Well, a couple of our kiddos have birthdays this week, and it got me to thinking maybe we could talk about that for a minute today. Why do we celebrate birthdays? It's really fun to celebrate them. What are some of the things you do to celebrate your birthdays? Do you have a party? What do you do at your party? You play at your party? Do you have birthday cake? And you blow out some candles, everybody sings to you? Yeah, we celebrate the person whose birthday it is, but why do you think we celebrate somebody's birthday? What do you think, Brantley? You're going to be 9 years old on your birthday, that's right. And Cameron, who's not here, but Cameron's going to be 5. Emma, you have a birthday? When is your birthday? In 3 weeks? It's going to be Saturday. Oh, happy birthday, Emma. Well, one of the reasons that we celebrate birthdays is because it's a chance for us to tell people that we are so glad that you were born and that we are so thankful for your life and that we're thankful for the ways that you are in our life. So Sawyer, on your birthday, I'm thankful for you and I'm thankful for all that you do for our church. You help serve gluten-free communion. Brantley, for your birthday, I'm thankful you were born and I'm thankful for all the ways that you serve at church. And so it's a chance for us to tell people, I'm so glad you were born and I'm so thankful for you and that we can celebrate you. So I thought that we could maybe sing happy birthday to our pals. So when it comes to the part to say names, we'll say happy birthday, Brantley, Cameron, and Emma. That's how we'll do it. Can somebody start us off?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Brantley, Cameron, and Emma. Happy birthday to you.
We are so thankful that you were born, and we are so thankful for you. Let us pray. Good morning, God. Thank you for today.
Thank you for today.
Thank you for each other.
Thank you for each other.
And thank you for our church.
And thank you for our church.
Thank you for birthdays.
Thank you for birthdays.
For the fun chance to play.
And eat cake.
And to celebrate our friends.
And to celebrate our friends.
Thank you for Brantley.
Thank you for Brantley.
And Cameron. And Emma.
And Emma.
We're so glad they were born. We love you, God. Amen. Thank you for coming up. You may go to Children's Church with Tina.
The Old Testament lesson is from the 40th chapter of Isaiah. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? Is it he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in? Who brings princesses to naught and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. Scarcely they are planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth. When he blows upon them and they wither and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these, who brings out their host and numbers them, calling them all by name, because he is great in strength, mighty in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right hand is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
Disciples left the synagogue. They entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening, at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I'm going to adjust just a touch. New pulpit, new mic. There's a little bit of acclimation that has to happen. Thank you for having me this morning. I'm just going to dive right into it because that's how Mark does it. The gospel according to Mark moves very quickly. In the first 29 verses of the gospel, and I'm talking about the first 29 verses of the first chapter of the gospel, he covers a lot of ground. He writes about John the Baptizer and his telling of the coming good news. He writes about Jesus' baptism. He writes about Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness. And then he tells about John the Baptizer's arrest, Jesus calling his first disciples, and then how Jesus heals the man who had an unclean spirit. All that unfolds in just 28 verses. All these accounts probably would have gotten a lot more screen time, or rather page time, if they were in perhaps Luke or John's gospel. But that's okay. Mark isn't worried about hitting a word count. Instead, he's writing with a sense of urgency. This urgency, this fast pace with which Mark presents the story of Jesus's ministry can be a gift, but it can also be a challenge to us as readers. Think, for example, if a coworker or a friend or a neighbor approaches us and starts talking a mile a minute. We'd have to interrupt them, to ask them to pause, to tell them, "Hey, I need you to slow down. I'm not sure I'm catching what you're saying." And we would make it clear to them that we want to be able to understand them. But in order to understand, something's got to slow down. And I'm probably going to have some questions for them too. This challenge that we have, though, is that the writer of the gospel isn't here with us in person today. We can't pose our questions directly to him. Instead, we've got to figure out how to ask these questions of the text some other way. Maybe not just pulling context from thin air, but using what Mark has written, who Mark references, and allowing the words that are on the page to linger in our ears and in our hearts. And one of the ways that I like to do this with all sorts of texts, all sorts of passages from Scripture, To slow down is to be attentive to the way the physicality happens, the way movement, body movement happens in a passage of scripture. So even though Mark moves quickly, there is so much movement happening, not just in our passage from this morning, but from the start of the book as well. And I want to hone in on the story of the mother-in-law specifically, to think about how this physical movement works. Perhaps if we were in acting class, we would get together and physically block this scene, but let's just do it in our minds, right? So the mother-in-law is sick in bed with a fever, and when Jesus comes to her, he reaches out his hand towards her and lifts her up out of bed. And as she's being lifted, she is healed. Her fever, gone. I know that each and every one of you know what it's like to be lifted up onto your feet. Perhaps you've been on the floor playing with a pet or a grandkid, a grandbaby maybe, or maybe you've had knee surgery or ankle surgery and you need help out of the chair for your first round of rehab. Maybe a little more painful than getting up off the floor with a pet or a loved one. But I know that you know what it's like to be on the receiving end of a hand to get onto your feet. You feel it in your body, right? You're sitting there, you're thinking, okay, yep, this could happen right now. I'm also fairly certain that you know what it's like to feel better after having a fever. We don't make it very far in human life without having a fever and then feeling better, right? Especially these days with the crud that's going around. But you're human. You know what it feels like to be so relieved when the fever breaks. And so you know these feelings that Mark is writing about, even if he gives them just a couple words. The feeling of being helped up, the feeling of a fever breaking. These are experiences that we almost all have. And even if we don't know what it's firsthand like to have been the mother-in-law of a disciple and for Jesus to be the one that's helping us up and healing us, we do know these feelings, and they can be our entry point into resonating, into connecting with this text that feels so distant. And as quickly as Mark is moving, as quickly as he's telling this story, he is trying to communicate something to us about this. Once she is healed, once she is up on her feet and the fever is gone, she feels well enough to serve. When we slow our reading down, we find footholds in familiar places, the human experience, perhaps. Then we can begin to see what the writer is trying to lead us to. The healing that Jesus brings is real. It enables us to share our love of God with those who are around us. We first received love and compassion from Christ, and now we can serve one another. And these physical feelings of being lifted up, of having a fever break, aren't the only things that we share with Mark. I think maybe many of us share a sense of urgency in many parts of our lives. Maybe we don't have such a honed, straightforward urgency that Mark has with proclaiming the gospel. Maybe we have urgency in other areas of our life. We know what it's like to be quick-paced, urgent people. Our lives are filled with so much forward motion. So much of our mental energy is thinking ahead. And I will admit, I have spent plenty of Sunday mornings in a pew thinking about what I'm going to buy in the grocery store that afternoon, or what needs to get done before a certain assignment was due, or this or that or this or that. Students and teachers know this. Students are thinking about what's going to happen before the end of the year, before end of year testing. Teachers are starting to think about how they're going to get through the second half of this year. Students are thinking about what they might take in the fall. For those of us in the church world, you might guess we're thinking about Lent, but we've already spent a lot of time thinking about Lent. But we're now thinking about summer as well, making plans for preaching series, VBS, continuing ed opportunities, camp. And I'm certain each of you could come up with your own list of things that keeps you feeling rushed, feeling like you have to move quickly, that maybe there's not enough time to do what you need to do. Maybe that if you slow down, things might turn out the way that you had hoped. And in these seasons of urgency, we finally often find ourselves getting caught up in the doing of the things rather than the reason for these things. We find ourselves moving a mile a minute to accomplish something, and in the quickness of it all, we lose track of why we're doing it, and what, and perhaps who, no, not perhaps, certainly who is sustaining us. In these moments of urgency and quick-paced life, we need someone to stop us, to slow us down, and help us recognize who we are, whose we are, and how and why we are called to live our lives. And so when we slowed down our reading of Mark's gospel, we saw that Mark moved quickly to get to the moment in which the mother-in-law is being of service to others, the moment that Jesus heals those who seek him out, and the moment where Jesus moves around the communities around Galilee to proclaim the gospel. Mark's urgency is a tool to communicate something about the living God, because he's had the time and he is in community to say, is this the right reason I'm being urgent? And so as we did with the message from Mark, where we were slowed down by looking at the physical bodily experiences in the lesson, we can also slow down our lives by paying attention to how we experience the world in our bodies. And there are probably many embodied experiences that are part of our life of faith that come to your mind, that remind you that we are children of God, and that we are part of the community of the body of Christ, that we are loved by God, and finally, that we are called by God to love and serve others. But there are two specific examples I want to think about this morning to focus on, because they are these top gifts that God gives to us for the lives that we lead. You know them. They are baptism and communion. And so as I start to bring some of our threads together by thinking about how baptism and communion, the sacraments, interrupt our busyness to make us slow down, to meet us where we are and in our fast-paced lives, in order to reorient and refresh us to share God's goodness for the sake of others. When we came into worship, we began with our confession and forgiveness. We confess our sins in the presence of God and one another. We make the sign of the cross on our bodies, and we do this to recall the sign of the cross that was made on our foreheads when we were baptized. Perhaps you were sprinkled, or maybe you were dunked, but you were also marked with the sign of the cross. And yes, it's true we're only baptized once, but we're constantly remembering the truth of baptism. We remember it when we make the sign of the cross over ourselves. We remember it when we walk by the baptismal font. Perhaps you have the habit of dipping your fingers in and making that sign when you walk by. And I want to invite you to also remember it when you feel any rain on your face, any water on your face, whether it be rain, washing your face, perhaps you were trying to drink a cup of water and got a little splashed on you. Anytime water touches your face, remember, you are a baptized child of God. And if we pay close attention, we notice and recall the way that God has claimed us as God's own, meeting us in our bodies and the way that we experience the world to say, hey, you belong. The truth of baptism slows us down, interrupts our regularly scheduled programming, the regular scheduled programming that we have so carefully organized, to remind us that we are God's, and we are God's beloved children. It interrupts our busyness of going, 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 and reminds us of our belonging in this place, specifically, and in the body of Christ. So maybe we feel the water from the font, and if we pay attention, these physical sensations remind us of the truth of God with us. But each week we also come to the table to receive communion, something that we do specifically in the setting of our specific congregations, but something that also connects us globally with the entire body of Christ. Not just with all the other ELCA churches, but with all of our siblings in Christ. We come to the table and we taste the bread and we taste the wine. We feel the wafer in our hands. We taste these things that are very real and very tangible. And we feel God's presence. Communion fills us, it feeds us, it connects us. It's a meal that gives us a foretaste of the kingdom, and it sustains us for a life of faith. We don't just stay at the table after we receive the elements. We also walk back into our life of faith. If we pay attention when we come to the altar, and I invite you to think about this today as you receive communion, we'll notice the ways that God is present at the table. How we are fed with something that is familiar, but something that is also truly holy. The practice of communion, like remembering our baptism, slows us down. And as we receive bread and wine, God sustains us and sends us. There is, of course, so much more, so much more to say about communion and baptism. what it means that God gives us these wonderful gifts. But I want you to remember this. Baptism and communion are these physical, tangible gifts that interrupt our busyness of our daily lives. They bring us comfort. They bring us healing. They bring us belonging and love. And as they do so, they also reorient us outwards, beyond the walls of a sanctuary, towards the lives of service, because of the love of God. So yes, in our reading from Mark this morning, the author moves quickly. His urgency is focused, oriented towards the truth of God's love made known in Christ. He tells us of the time in which Jesus heals the mother-in-law, one of the disciples, with a gentle touch and an outstretched hand so that she may be well. The story is quick, but it is embodied. And once she is healed, she begins to serve those who are around her. We ourselves, too, live lives that are often rushed, but God reaches out to us with love and compassion, gentleness and healing. God interrupts our busyness with baptism and communion, showing us this love, meeting us where we are, with the physical and tangible expressions of grace. And so my prayer, too, is that we may be like the mother-in-law who have been made well, to be made well, that God's gift of love will be something that we receive with joy, and that then we share it with all of those who we encounter. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us confess our faith together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end.
We believe in the
Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. As we celebrate Christ embodied in human form, we pray for God's blessing on the church, the world, and all creation. Everlasting God, you bring your healing power to the church. Give your church a spirit of unity and prayer, that we discern your way for us in the world. God of grace, Creator of the ends of the earth, you make the grass grow and send rain for the soil. Bring your creation into harmony and balance. Give animals their food and provide healthy shelter for your people. Inspire us to honor the miraculous beauty of all you have made. God of grace, God without equal, your steadfast love endures forever. Bring the leaders, elected officials, and peacekeepers of our towns and countries into understanding and unity. Guide them to serve with compassion and peace. God of grace, God who strengthens, you lift up with your hand any who are suffering. Heal those who are brokenhearted and strengthen the weak and all in need, especially Bill, Paul and Carolina, Bobby and Jana, Bobby, Chip, Teresa, Scott, Kara, Joe, Neil, Jim, Mike and Joanna, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. God who gives power, God of grace, God who gives power to the faint, challenge us to share the faith stories of what God has done in our lives. Open us to receive the unique ways God is at work in your people, especially those whose perspective challenges our own. God of grace, God who calls each star by name, we remember all who have died, especially Molly Rotunda, former student of Pam Jackson. Shelter all who mourn with your mercy and care. Give us hope in your promised salvation. God of grace,
Holy Spirit intercedes for us. We offer these prayers and the silent prayers of our hearts. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to share Christ's peace with those around you. This morning, in addition to our regular offering, we do a basket offering on the first and third Sundays of each month. Our basket offering this month is going to the Life Center here in Davidson County. The Life Center provides a place and activities for older senior adults to go who need a little extra assistance during the day while their caregivers and loved ones work.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved son. And in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Oh,
Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love, you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. This is the Lord's table. Jesus is the host, and we are all Christ's guests. Jesus welcomes everyone to come, to eat, to be nourished, fed, and forgiven. Visitors and children are welcome to come and receive communion. Those who do not wish to receive communion are still welcomed forward to receive a blessing. Just cross your arms over your chest so Vicar Christina will know if you prefer a blessing. Gluten-free wafers are available in this gold Pix. Also let Vicar Christina know if you prefer a gluten-free wafer. Grape juice is in the center of each tray if you prefer that instead of wine. And if you are unable to come forward, an usher will let Vicar Christina know to come to you at the end of communion. At Jesus' table, there is room for all. Come and see.
Take away the sin.
For the table blessing. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray together.
O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need. And to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Let us recite our mission statement together. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education
and respond in loving action to a needy world. Oh, you're good to go, girlfriend.
Thank you.
Go in peace. Go in the good news. Thanks to be God.